Bon, would you want to, I don't know if I left a hole last week or not. Don't know how many of you noticed we weren't here, but I do thank you, those of you that were thinking of us and praying for us, we appreciate it. We were in Ohio, Orville, Ohio, at the East Union Congregation, where Carla is, and Carla had a chance to have a meal with Carla and Elliot and their boys, and Carla said to make sure to tell the congregation here hello. Had a really good weekend there, it was missions weekend, and the congregation there just reminded me a lot of our congregation here. I felt really at home there, and I thank you, those of you that prayed for us. Over the last while, I've done a series, probably some of you remember, some of you wouldn't have heard, but I was doing a series on having the mind of Christ, and I used three areas. Today is the last of those three. The first one, having the mind of Christ toward God. The second was having the mind of Christ toward others. And today is having the mind of Christ toward ourselves. Let's turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2, and let's just read some verses here. It's what I want us to look at this morning. The key verse here is verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, also in Christ Jesus. Let's say that together. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now he goes on and he says, who, that's talking about Jesus, being in the form of God, he was the image of God. We'll talk about that a little bit more. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he was not taking something that was not his to be equal with God. But here's the contrast. He was able to claim equality with God. Totally, rightfully, without any questions, without any stretch, he was able to claim equality with God. But he made himself of no reputation. Now that's a huge, huge, huge contrast. It's almost more than we can grasp. He is God. He's equal with God. And yet he chooses to take the place of no reputation. He made himself that. And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Just think about that just for a minute. Here is someone that is equal with God, in the image of God, made himself of no status, no reputation, took upon him the form or the image of a servant. He was in the image of God, but he took on him the image of a servant, the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. That's huge. It's beyond our imagination. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Now wait a minute. He's God. He takes on him the form. I thought that was already humbling himself, right? But no. He took on him the form of a servant, became like man, or the likeness of men, and then, after he was in the likeness of men, he humbled himself. Wait a minute. This is getting a little deep for me here. and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, like I said, this is so huge. God is life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But he takes on him death. Now, I want us to think about this morning. I couldn't really find a picture I wanted, but I want us to think about ourselves. And what I would have really liked to had was that gentleman there have his son, and maybe you can imagine that way, maybe a little younger son is what I was thinking, about 20 years old. Which person do you identify with on that picture? If Jesus were here, which person would he identify with? The slave or the wealthy landowner? Now, that's something I want us to think about this morning. That's having the mind of Christ toward ourselves. Now, let's just ask ourselves some questions. How do I view myself? We could look in a mirror and we could see what we're going to see. But how do I think about myself? Am I important? Am I unimportant? Am I worthy? Unworthy? Am I child of God? Am I sinner? Am I good? Am I bad? How do we look at ourselves? I think this is really key. He told us, we just read it, Paul was writing to us as believers as well as to the Philippian church. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he talks about how Jesus viewed himself, right? So this is where we're picking this up at. How do I view myself? What's the right view to have of oneself? Is it wrong for me to recognize my talents and abilities and admit that I have them? Is it wrong for me to use the talents and abilities that I have for the kingdom of God? Just, you know, it's just some things to think about. How should we view ourselves? Does my view of myself change anything at all? One of the things that you learn if you do some studying on leadership and so on, one of the things that's very important for a person to be a good leader is to recognize his own strengths and his own weaknesses, and to surround himself with people who will increase his strengths and challenge him in his weaknesses. That's important. Okay, so is it important for me to understand myself? Does that matter at all? Does it change anything? If I have the proper view of who I am, how will I relate to those that have a wrong view of themselves? Do you know that a lot of the people we work with, you guys that are doing Kids Club, most of the kids in Kids Club have a wrong view of themselves. How does me having a right view of myself, how does that help or hinder me in relating to those kids? And this applies in every area of life, because we're dealing with a world that has a wrong view of themselves. Some people feel worthless, absolutely worthless. Are they worthless? No. They're looking at things wrong. Some people feel like they're worth everything. Are they worth everything? No. They're looking at themselves wrong, right? So we're thinking about this, and we want to think about this morning. How important is a proper concept of oneself in working together as God's people? I think it's very important. Unless I know who I am and you know who you are, in God's sight, and have a proper view of ourselves, we're not going to be able to work together well. Because either I'm not going to think enough of myself, or I'm going to think too much of myself. And both of those cause havoc in working together. All right? Last question. How, and this is a paradox that we have to live with if we're going to understand the mind of Christ and have that mind toward ourselves. How do I balance this whole thing of being a child of the King? I'm a child of the King. I have rights. I have privileges. I have promises. Am I right? Absolutely. But how do I balance that with being a servant and serving others and serving God? You see where we're going here? It's important. It's very important. And Jesus has given us a beautiful example, and Paul brings it to our attention as he writes to the Philippian church, which, by the way, was a church that was a model church. They had a lot of good things going. And Paul was writing to them and encouraging them, let this mind be in you, which was also Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. And we looked at how all that affected. Now, I want us to think about, And I'm just going to go through this rather quickly here. We've read it and we've touched on it a little bit, but I want us to think about this because this is Christ. And then I want us to take that and look at it for ourselves, how it applies to us. Jesus is the perfect image of God. Hebrews tells us that, chapter 1, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. What's that? What that's telling us, and Jesus said this, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus was exactly the image of God. Totally. There were no flaws, there were no shortcomings, there was no, if you put God and Jesus beside each other, they're the same. In Asia, there's a lot of times you use this saying, same, 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 same. Makes sense, doesn't it? That's Jesus and God, same, same. So Jesus is the image, the perfect image of God. Secondly, he took on him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. In Mark, Mark 10:45, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and gave his life a ransom for many. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor for our sakes. You see that huge contrast? Jesus is bringing those two opposites together in himself. That through his poverty, we might be rich. That's an amazing, amazing scripture. How can our poverty make someone else rich? How did Jesus' poverty make us rich? So, first of all, he was made in the image of God. Secondly, he took on him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And thirdly, he humbled himself and died. Hebrews 2:9. we see Jesus, and it could say here, who became a little lower than, it says he was made, but it could say he became a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. We see him. That's just a clause in there. If we read the verse without the clause, it says, we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. Yeah, we see him crowned with glory and honor, but there's something that happens in between there. We see Jesus made a little lower than the angels. He humbled himself. Now, how could he be God and at the same time be in that position? Again, there's a lesson for us here. 1 Peter 3:18. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and quickened in the spirit. So there's those three areas that are specifically mentioned here in Philippians chapter 2 in relation to Jesus Christ. Now, how does that apply to you and me? And having the proper view of ourselves, having the mind of Christ toward ourselves. First of all, we are made in the image of God. Awesome! Incredible! I am made, created in the image of God. For in Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27, God created man in his own image. And Paul picks up on it in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7. A man ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. Galatians chapter 7, 4 verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. If you're a son, then an heir with Christ. An heir of God. So we look at these verses and we say, oh man, I'm a child of God. I don't need to live in a dumpy place. I should drive the best car. I should live in the best house, in the best neighborhood. I'm a child of God. And that's where a lot of people go in our world today. As a child of God, I should have the best. Sounds good, doesn't it? True, isn't it? Huh? Is it true or not?
No.
What? As a child of God, I should not have the best? I'm afraid you're wrong. I think that's the point. The best of what? You know what? We decide what's the best, don't we? As a child of God, I should have the best. But let him decide what best is, right? That's where we get it wrong. But we tend to go off here, and so it's really important. We are made in the image. If you don't understand this truth, and if you don't live in this truth, you're not going to live properly. I am made in the image of God. I am important. I am useful. I have meaning and purpose for my life. It's all there. But that's not the whole picture. That's part of the picture. And we need to have that part of the picture in order to see ourselves for who we are. Unless you know that, you're not going to live successfully. You're not going to live in the blessing of God. We have to know this. And that's we went through that, the bondage breaker, with the youth. And I just really encourage you to read that book, The Bondage Breaker, or watch the series, whatever. And he talks about who we are in Christ. We're a child of God. We're free from sin, and on and on and on, what we have in Christ. We need to know that. It changes who we are. But it's not all of who we are. We also, by humbling ourselves and dying to self, we become the most useful. We go back to our Lord. and look at his example. If all Jesus would have done was stayed in heaven and says, I am God, would we have salvation? Absolutely not. It took him humbling himself and dying, physically dying, for our salvation, for the price of our sins to be paid. That's what it took. That was God's method of redeeming us. Here's what Matthew 23, verse 12 says. Whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, smashed. He that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Isn't that what we just read about Jesus? Didn't we just look at a verse that said that? That Jesus was exalted, but in between it said, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Right? James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. Now, let me just make something very clear. Humbling ourselves is not thinking less of ourselves. It's not putting ourselves down. When you say, oh, I can't do that, you're not humbling yourself. You're being stubborn. That's what it is. Humbling ourselves is not thinking less of ourselves. It's thinking of ourselves less. That's important. Humbling ourselves is not thinking less of ourselves. In other words, it's not saying, I'm a nobody. I can't do this. I'm nothing. No. Humbling ourselves is thinking of ourselves less. Our focus is not on ourselves. Our focus is on others. Our focus is on God. And so we become most useful here on earth if we humble ourselves and die to ourselves. We all like a proud person, right? Wrong. We don't. Why don't we like that proud person? What is there that bothers us about a proud person? What bothers us about them? They're thinking of themselves. Exactly. And most of the time it bothers us because we're doing the same thing. But that's where it is. And so we're looking at the scripture, we're comparing. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He was made in the image of God. He is God. He's the express image of God. Nowhere in the scripture are we called the express image of God. We are created in the image of God, but we're not the express image of God. We are in the image of God. And so that makes us important. That gives us value. That gives us meaning. That's why we look at life as sacred. Because life, human life, is in the image of God. Every human life. It doesn't matter how disgusting a person is, they are created in the image of God. So secondly, we humble ourselves and we choose death just like Jesus did. No, we're not going to get crucified. We're not going to give our life physically, but we have to be willing to lay our lives down. It's not about me. It's not about all what I want. It's not about everything that I wish to do. It's how do I fit into God's plan and how am I most useful to others, to those around me? Do I become most useful by doing everything that I want to do? No. I become most useful by humbling myself and being willing to serve. A little tough, isn't it? Real tough, isn't it? We don't like to go there. As humans, we don't like that. We might as well just be honest with it. We don't like to serve humanly. But it's where we need to go. You think Jesus liked all that he did? Humanly, probably not. But he chose to do it because it was, in fact, he said, you know, if I could just please not go through this suffering of death, if there's some other way, Lord. And there was none. Last of all, we need to be like our master and be servants. Matthew 23, verse 11. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. You know what the disciples' biggest problem was? It came up over and over and over and over again as they walked with Jesus. You remember what it was? Howard, you're grinning. You know what it was. Who's going to be the greatest? Here they are, they're doing miracles. Here they are, they're seeing people raised from the dead. Here they are seeing all this stuff. And as soon as they get off by themselves and Jesus isn't there, they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus comes to them again and again. He comes and washes their feet. He comes to them here and there, and he says, whoever wants to be the greatest, let him be the servant. Just like the Son of Man didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister. You want to make your life miserable, spend your life thinking about what people can do for you. I guarantee you, you'll be miserable. And it'll get worse. You want to make your life a blessing? Think about what you can do for others. Long and short of it. So there's a challenge here. There's this huge span. I'm a child of God. I'm made in the image of God. I'm the child of a king. I have at my disposal all the wealth of heaven, the promises of God. All that God offers to me. So I ought to live like a king, right? No, I humble myself. You know who the most effective missionaries are that go to other peoples? You do a study and you look across history. The ones that have become most effective in reaching the people that they went to minister to became the most like the people they went to minister to. Those that humbled themselves the most were the most effective. You read about Hudson Taylor. That man was mocked. He was criticized. He was spoken of in very unkind ways by fellow Christians. Because of the extent that he went to try to be like the people that he ministered to, the Chinese. And it was because of his work that years and years ago, many, many, many Chinese came to Christ after a long time. So I just want us to think about this, how this relates. Maybe we ought to pray this prayer. Lord, help me see myself as your child and yet willing to serve you and others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I just challenge you, take those verses there in Philippians chapter 2. Take them. Pray over them. Let the Holy Spirit take those verses and sink them into your heart, into my heart. I guarantee you, if you live in those truths, both extremes, and keep them ever in front of your eyes, I guarantee you, you'll be an effective person for the Lord and for others. So let's stand together for prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us to look into your word. Such deep truths, such powerful messages, Lord, that speak right to where we live. Lord, some of us think more of ourselves than we ought to think. A whole lot more. Some of us are not living as your children. We're not living in your promises. We're not living in your blessings. We're not living in your truth. And some of us, Lord, haven't humbled ourselves to the place where we can be useful. Such a tremendous paradox, O God, and yet so rich and meaningful and full of truth and purpose for our lives. I pray your Holy Spirit take these truths and sink them deep into our hearts, into my heart, that we might be more effective for you, O God, here in our time on earth, and that when we arrive in eternity, we might be able to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord." Thank you, Father. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.